This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
Cunningham throws into Durham, back to Cunningham, a fake, lost the ball, turnover, Draymond picked it up, and there's the buzzer. The Warriors sweep the Pistons. They win the game 115-110. Our electrifying player of the game, Key Santos, who sparked the Warriors 15 points, 6 rebounds in 25 minutes.
How about that? Hell of a Warriors win. 115-110, the final score. You just heard Tim Roy. Yeah, Guy Santos, he was electrifying. Chase Center was fired up. Might be the loudest I've heard Chase Center all season. They haven't had a lot of home games of late. This is only the third home game since Jimmy Butler was acquired, and they've been loud for all three of those. This one, though, in my opinion, takes the cake. Warriors beat one of the hottest teams in the NBA, despite not really playing that great of basketball. The Warriors in this one, they shot only 41.7% from the field. They shot sub 30% from downtown, yet they found a way to win against one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons. This is not last year's Pistons team. This is not the Piston team of the last decade. This is a Piston team coming into this game, had won 10 of their last 12 games. They had a win streak of 8 games just like a week ago. They had beaten the Boston Celtics by 20 during that win streak. This is one of the best teams in the league over the last month plus, and the Warriors, despite playing nowhere near their A game, they come in to Chase Center fresh off of an emotional road trip where they went 4-1 and they beat the Detroit Pistons 115-110. Welcome in, Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy with you. We have plenty to get into here on this Saturday evening, and I'm live from Splash at Thrive City. I'm sure you can hear it in the background. This place is packed, it's energetic, and this is the place to be before, during, after Warrior game. Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center on the west side of the arena. There's a long line waiting to get in, and I understand why. I've got like 1,000 TVs in front of me, including 3 gigantic big screens. I got the Sharks NHL action on. Got some high-level college basketball, Houston and Baylor. Every possible sport you could dream dream of. It's available for you here at Splash at Thrive City, plus some good drinks and some good food as well. And it's where I'm taking in Warriors wrap-up tonight here on 95.7 The Game. So if you're in the area, stop by, say what's up, and let's celebrate this Warrior win together here on 95.7 The Game. And you can join the conversation as well by giving me a call, shooting me a text, 888-957-9570. Plus, you can also chat with our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957 the game. The chat is already popping. Shout out to Ryan, to Bamboo, to Elijah, to Theodore, to Romar, to ASAP, to a few others, to Chris, to Alex. A lot of people chiming in on our YouTube chat, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union, youtube.com/957 the game. I mean, okay, let's just start with major takeaways. Takeaways from this one is this is a game the Warriors don't win pre-Jimmy Butler, and there's absolutely no debate there. The Warriors probably lose this game by 20 without Jimmy Butler. When the Warriors pre-Jimmy Butler would not make shots, when their threes weren't falling, when their half-court offense was ugly, and that was the case for the majority of the day today, although I think it would have been even uglier, right, without Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler, there was a period there in the third quarter where he just kind of carried the Warriors offense himself. It was he and Cade Cunningham who just went like bucket for bucket for bucket for bucket in that third quarter. So it would have been even uglier in terms of the half-court offense and the Warriors executing offensively. But if they have a game like this pre-Jimmy Butler, where they shoot sub 30% from downtown, where they're barely over 40% from the field, they lose that game. They lose that game big time. And I think what the Warriors have gathered, what the Warriors are learning, is they have a way to win basketball games when their shots aren't falling from the outside. And how do they get it done today? They got it done today by getting to the free throw line 41 times. 41 free throw attempts for the Warriors in this one. 33 for 41 from the free throw line. Now, the Pistons, they also got their 36 times. So this wasn't some, like, major advantage the Warriors had over the Pistons in this one. It's just a cheat code, a way for you to score points when you can't really get much in the half court and your shots aren't falling. The Warriors hadn't had that all year until Jimmy Butler came here. The statistics show the Warriors' least free throw attempts per game pre-Jimmy Butler, the most since he was acquired. It's not as if he's just turned it around. He has literally taken them from the worst in the league at it to the best in the league at it. And tonight was a perfect example. The Warriors would not have scored 100 points tonight if they did not get to the free throw line 41 times. Of their 115 points, 33 came at the free throw line. 33 of their 115 at the free throw line. If we do the quick math, 33 out of 115, that is about 29% of the Warriors' points. So nearly 3/10 of the Warriors' points tonight came from the free throw line. That was the Warriors' lifeline, and there's zero chance they win that basketball game tonight if they don't get to the free throw line that many times. And the only way they get to the free throw line that many times is because of Jimmy Butler's impact. And Jimmy Butler's impact is one that allows them to score in those situations when their shots aren't falling. I mean, Steph had 32 points in it. I've already had a number of people come up to me and say, he had 32. It felt more like 20. I mean, yeah, he was a volume shooter in this one. 32, 8 for 22 from the field, 4 of 15 from downtown, but guess what? 12 free throw attempts. It is a cheat code. If you can get to the free throw line consistently, you are just giving yourself easy, easy, easy points. And the Warriors have made it so difficult on themselves over the course of the last, like, 2.5 years, but specifically the beginning of this season, because they just simply, not as if they refused, but they just did not have the ability or the skill set to get to the free throw line. And it's incredible that one player can have this large of an impact on it, but Jimmy Butler really has done it. Now, I think the other players on the team are, you know, maybe leaning into it a little bit more, and that is helping, but it is the Jimmy Butler impact. Warriors at the free throw line, that's what won them the basketball game today. Because, again, they shoot 42, sub 42% from deep, sub 30% from downtown. They commit 19 turnovers. turnovers. The Pistons turned those 19 turnovers into 26 points, and yet you win a basketball game against a really, really good Detroit team. How in the world is that possible? Because of what Jimmy Butler and the Warriors did at the free throw line. This is a really good Detroit team. I mean, specifically on the defensive end. You look at what Detroit has done in their last 12 games, where they are 10-2 prior to today, which includes an 8-game winning streak, which featured a 20-point win over the defending champion Boston Celtics. In those 12 games, the number one defensive rating in the NBA. Number one, the best defensive rating in the NBA over the last 12 games. Overall, the number two net rating in the NBA, behind only Cleveland, who hasn't lost in that 12-game stretch. So the only team that they're worse at in terms of net rating over their last 12 is a team that has won all 12 of those games. Nothing at all against Detroit there. The Warriors are right behind them. They have the third best net rating since, and the Warriors just went up against that team, didn't play their A ball game, and they won. Detroit is going to make it tough on you defensively, for you offensively, their defense. And it was tough. I mean, it was not easy. Again, 19 turnovers for the Warriors. Steph got up 22 shots, only made 8. You shoot sub 42% from the field, yet you find a way to win this basketball game. The 510 on our text line, 888-957-9570. See, gets us going here. The Dubs have been owning the fourth quarter since Jimmy Butler arrived, especially the closing minutes. That's how to win playoff basketball. No doubt you're right, 510. And it's something, first of all, that I've been tracking. The Warriors, fewer clutch games since Jimmy Butler's gotten here because, one, they are just dominating opponents more often, and they're not even getting in those close, tight, clutch time situations. But when they are in those clutch time situations, they're much more equipped to win those games and to execute down the stretch. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but a big part of it is their ability to get to the free throw line and ice games that way. When games get tight and when you're playing against a good defensive team and it's, you know, within 5 points in the final few minutes of a basketball game, defense really ramps up. You can't play the level of defense that teams play in those clutch times over the course of 48 minutes. It just doesn't happen in the NBA. You get that level of defense late in basketball games. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're an elite defensive team or a bad defensive team, you're going to play your best defense and as good as you possibly can defensively in those last few minutes. So it's always going to be more difficult down the stretch. And the Warriors, I mean, we can just be honest with ourselves. The Warriors have been flat out terrible late game execution. And there were times in this game it felt that way too. Steph hit the big three to put him up by two. I forget. I can find exactly when it happened. The Warriors were up by two on that Steph three with 4 minutes left. So Steph hit a three for the Warriors to take a 100-98 lead with 4 minutes left. Then Cade Cunningham committed a turnover. So Warriors have the ball and the momentum, up by two, under four to go. And you're thinking, okay, another bucket here and, like, not quite over, of course, but that would go a long way to winning that basketball game. And then what happens? Steph Curry commits a turnover, leads to a wide, wide, wide open Malik Beasley three in the corner. He had so much time. He sat there, waited, thought about it some more, then took the three and made it. That gave Detroit a lead. Then Jimmy Butler commits a turnover on the next possession. That leads to the Detroit free throw. Suddenly, all the momentum that you had and the lead that you had evaporated, gone. Like, that had kind of been the story of the Warriors' season in clutch games. And that was in a clutch time, within 5 minutes, and the score within 5 points. And the Warriors committed two terrible turnovers on consecutive possessions. And I'm sure there's a lot of Warrior fans out there who felt the same way that I felt. Like, uh-oh, here we go again. Warriors' late game execution rearing its ugly head once again. But they did not turn the ball over after that. They committed those two turnovers. They got the ball back with a little more than 3 minutes left at that point, did not commit a turnover over the final three games, and they executed well. Draymond hit a clutch three. Jimmy Butler had the clutch mid-range jumper from the left side. Steph Curry hit the two free throws to ice it. Draymond went 1 of 2 from the line, but they executed perfectly down the stretch after those two turnovers that led to 5 Detroit points that kind of swung the game there for a minute. And as I get back to the original point, the 510 brought up on our text line, and again, 888-957-9570 to join the conversation. that is like the stark dichotomy of what the Warriors team was and what they are now. They couldn't execute down the stretch. How many games, either would they have a big lead in the fourth and they would lose, or they would be in it, you know, clutch time games. They played the second most clutch games in the NBA, and they're about 500 in those games. How many of those games did they let slip through their fingers? Again, whether they had a 10-point lead in the fourth and lost it, or whether they were in it, tie game with 3 minutes left, and they lose that game because of one missed shot, one turnover, one offensive foul, fouling a jump shooter, whatever the case is. There's too many mistakes to count. But how many of those games do you feel like the Warriors just let slip out of their grasp? I mean, it's at least like five. At least five. And I'm not saying all five of those you could say, oh, they should have been wins. But like easily a couple of those could have been wins. And as we try to show how important this end of game execution is, let's just pretend three of those five games that the Warriors very easily could have won went the Warriors' way. Instead of losses, they were wins. Just three. Okay? Right now with the win, fourth Warriors win in a row. They're now 8 games over .500 at 36-28. Imagine three went the other way. They were wins instead of losses. That would mean the Warriors would be 39-25. 39-25 would put you tied with the Houston Rockets, a half game behind the Memphis Grizzlies, and only 2 games behind the Lakers, 2.5 games behind the Nuggets for the 2 seed. Like, that's the difference that we're talking about. And just the bounce of a ball a couple of times, not committing a painful, back-breaking turnover down the stretch. That's where the Warriors have gotten better of late, and you hope it's not too little too late. You feel pretty good about the Warriors' ability to get up to the 6th seed. They're there right now, and they won. They're a half game ahead of Minnesota, who suddenly has also won 4 games in a row. They're a game and a half ahead of the Clippers. They're 2 games ahead of the Kings, and they're 4 games ahead of the Mavericks, who are beginning to fall away from postseason contention after the Kyrie Irving injury, which they can pair with all their other injuries after the Luka Doncic trade. But that's the difference that we're talking about, and that's how important late game execution is for the Warriors. They haven't really had it. They have not really had it until now. And now they have it. And by the way, while I bring up the Lakers and the Western Conference standings, the Lakers did lose in Boston today. Maybe more important, as we try to gauge where teams are going to be as the Western Conference standings wrap up, the Lakers, they lost today. They also might have lost LeBron for an extended period of time. LeBron left the game middle of the fourth quarter with a groin injury. And I have a report from Dave McMiniman of ESPN, who covers the Lakers. Dave McMiniman says, and this is a quote from Dave McMiniman, LeBron James said his mind immediately went to his groin injury on Christmas Day in 2018 when he felt a pop in his groin and missed significant time. James says he does not believe this injury is as bad as that one, and then he knocked on the wooden locker behind him to not jinx it. But it looks like at least an absence of a chunk of time for LeBron James for the Lakers. Their 8-game winning streak snapped tonight in Boston. They fell 111-101. Not necessarily saying the Warriors should think about catching the Lakers and jumping maybe to the 3 seed. All I will say is where the Lakers are in the Western Conference standings matters to the Warriors, because I think if there is health for the Lakers, the Warriors would want to avoid LA. That's just how I feel. Maybe you feel differently. But if the Lakers are the 3, it might behoove the Warriors to be the 4 or the 5. If the Lakers fall to the 4 or the 5, it might behoove the Warriors to be the 6, or again, climb all the way up to the 3, which seems a little far-fetched, even if LeBron does miss a chunk of time, but we shall see. Anything is possible if the Warriors keep winning games at the rate in which they are. And by the way, the rate at which they are winning basketball games right now, they've won 4 in a row, they've won 9 straight when Jimmy Butler plays, they're 11-1 when Jimmy Butler plays, and they're 11-2 in their last 13 games, and they are again alone in 6th, and what they did tonight, 115-110 over the Pistons, they beat one of the hottest teams in the NBA, who had been 10-2 in their last 12 games. Hell of a performance for the Warriors tonight, who again, did not even play their A game, and they managed to win against one of the hottest teams in the NBA, 115 115 to 110. I thought the Warriors did a really awesome job on Cade Cunningham in the first half. I mean, Cade, he's a superstar, and he's going to get his, and he finished with 31 points. He had 4 rebounds and 5 assists, but one number to circle for Cade Cunningham, and where the Warriors made it difficult on him, he committed 9 turnovers in this one tonight. Now, again, Cade's, I think he's one of the most underappreciated superstars in the league. He should be an all-NBA honoree this season. What he has done with this Pistons team is incredible. He is awesome, and as long as he is a Detroit Piston, the Pistons are going to have action in the Eastern Conference. That's how good Cade is, and I think he's finally beginning to get that publicity around the league. He is legitimately great. 31 points on only 17 shots, and I got to the free throw line 10 times, made 9 of them. He did most of his damage in the second half. I thought Moses Moody, who's kind of been the unsung hero for the Warriors of late, especially on the defensive end, I thought he was amazing on Cade in the first half. Cade in the first half didn't really do all that much. Cade here in the first half, just 7 points, 2 of 7 from the field in the first half. Now, he got going in the second. Again, 7 points in the first half. That means he had 24 in the second half. 19 of those 24 came in the third quarter when he took over. 6 of 7 from the field in that third quarter for those 19 points. But the Warriors managed to deal with it, and they hold on and win this basketball game again by a final score of 115 to 110. But Moses Moody was the primary defender of Cade for the majority of the game, but specifically in the first half, Jimmy Butler took turns on him, GP2 was on him a little bit, and Cade is the type of player where you're not going to shut him out for a half. You're not going to completely or for a whole game. You might limit him for a half, but he is going to get going. That was the third quarter. It's not like the Warriors suddenly did a terrible job defending him. Cade is just great, and he is great enough to where he can overcome a defensive game plan that is geared for him, and that was certainly the case in the first half. It was Jalen Duren who hurt the Warriors in the first half. He had a double-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds in the first half. I think actually might have been 12 points, 11 rebounds in the first half. Only had 13 and 13 in the entire game. So he did absolutely nothing in the second half. That's when Cade got going, but the Warriors, you took away Cade for a half, you took away Duren for a half, and he managed to win this basketball game 115 to 110. Detroit ended up shooting about 46% from the field, and that's a decent number. I think you'll take that if you're Detroit most days, but they got absolutely nothing from downtown. And this is a team that has some pretty good three-point shooters. Malik Beasley quietly is maybe like the three-point king this year. Doesn't do it at the level of difficulty that Steph does, but he has made an exorbitant number of threes this season. He was only 2 for 7 from deep. Cade Cunningham quietly is turning into a quality three-point shooter. Not an insane volume, but he was 2 of 3. Tim Hardaway, always a dangerous three-point shooter. He was only 1 for 6 from downtown. The Warriors took away Detroit's threes in this basketball game. They said, you know what, you're gonna get us down low with Jalen Duren, with Ausar Thompson, who's always around the rim, and with Cade Cunningham, you're going to control the paint. And that's what happened. Points in the paint in this one, the Pistons had 56, the Warriors had 36. But you know what? In today's NBA, if you're not making threes, it's hard for you to win. And that's what happened. The Warriors shot a better percentage than Detroit, and the Warriors only shot 29% from three. The Pistons shot 21.7% from downtown. The Warriors made 12 threes. The Pistons made 5. That's a difference of 7 threes made, which is a difference of 21 points right there at the three-point line. Warriors had to take a whole lot more to get to that number, but you shoot a better clip, you shoot more, you've got the big advantage there from the three-point line as well. This was a hell of a win, and the Warriors, again, 115 to 110. They're now 8 games over 500, 36-28. They've won 4 in a row, 9 straight wins when Jimmy Butler plays, 11-1 when Jimmy Butler plays overall, and they're 11-2 in their last 13 games, which was that streak began when Jimmy Butler made his debut. And again, they are alone in 6th place in the Western Conference, and they just beat one of the best teams, one of the hottest teams in the NBA over the last month plus. The Pistons had been 10-2 in their last 12, but their hot streak really extends beyond these last 12 games. All right. Time for a break here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Mark Rennie with you live from Splash at Thrive City on the west side of Chase Center, right outside the arena. This place has happened, and it's going all night. Well, not all night. Until 11 o'clock tonight here on 95.7 The Game here at Splash. And plenty going on here. I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back. All you need to know, Splash at Thrive City, the spot. The spot to watch a Warrior game or any other big sporting event. They've got countless screens for you to get lost in. They got good drinks and good food as well. Time for a break. It's Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get your calls, your text at 888-957-9570. Plus, all you chatters on YouTube, I'll chime in during this commercial break. YouTube.com/957 The Game. Everything we do there powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Mark Rennie with you live from Splash at Thrive City on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Back with more next here on 95.7 The Game.
Mooney screens for Butler. Butler with a dribble right side. Pass right side line. Draymond takes a three. It's good! Draymond hit it with 34.5 to go. The Warriors lead by two. Detroit will not call time. Cunningham pass. Stolen. A dribble stolen by Mooney. Throws it back. Draymond gets fouled by Durant as he undercut him going for the loose ball. 24.8 to go. In a heartbeat. The circumstances change. Draymond Green, the Saginaw kid, who always looks at a game with the Pistons as a big game, has hit the biggest shot of the night and now has a chance to make it a two-possession game.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Man, how good is Tim Roy? Just absolutely nailing the biggest moment of this basketball game. Warriors have the ball, less than 50 seconds left, down one, 108-107. And the Detroit Pistons says, you know what? Hey, Draymond, we're going to leave you open on the right wing. I dare you to shoot that three. Draymond says, I bet. And he takes it, and he hits it. And then on the other end, it was Moses Moody. Steals the ball away from Cade Cunningham. One of Cade's nine turnovers in this game. The ball ultimately finds its way to Draymond Green. Draymond Green fouled. He did split the free throws, made one to make it a three-point game. Cade did score to make it a one-point game. Then Steph hit a couple of free throws. Malik Beasley missed a three. Steph got fouled. Steph made two more free throws to ice the game, and that was it. But it does not happen without that Draymond three and without the Moses Moody steal. How good has Moses Moody been defensively? I am 100% guilty of this. We spend so much time discussing what all these players do on offense, and Moses Moody's shot, I think this year has been relatively inconsistent. Largely the last like 2 months it's been better, but there's still been some streaks and stretches where he doesn't really have it. And he finished today in this one, Moses Moody, at 12 points, 3 of 11, 2 of 5 from downtown. I mean, he'll take 2 of 5 from downtown. That's 40%. But there's been games where he goes 0 for from downtown. This was not one of those games. But what has been consistent for Moses Moody when his shot is falling, when his shot is not falling, is his defense. He did a great job on Jalen Brunson in New York versus the Knicks. And what is becoming the norm for Moses Moody and the Warriors is Moody now relatively consistently is being asked to defend the opposing team's best, like two or three, like the best wing. And Moses Moody has been taking that task. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get beat and you're not going to play elite defense and shut down all of the opposing team's best players. Like Cade Cunningham tonight, legit superstar, 31 points. That is maybe the biggest challenge that Moses Moody has been asked of this year. And 31, again, Cade Cunningham is great. But what Moses Moody and this Warrior team did to him in the first half, only 7 points on 7 field goal attempts. Moses Moody's defense is steadily improving, and you always know the effort is going to be there, and it was certainly there in this one today for Moses Moody. Big steal there. And then the confidence from Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond before that point had made a three. He was 1 for 4 from deep. He's left open in the final minute. You're down a point. You got Steph Curry on the floor, and you have the confidence to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm taking this shot. I am taking this shot. His three-point shot has kind of left him a little bit of light. Remember beginning of the season? He was really, really good from downtown, making like two threes a game for a good stretch of ball at time to make three or four in a game, which almost seems unheard of for Draymond Green. His shot has kind of disappeared from him of late. But he hit that one at the clutchest moment. Man, Draymond Green, what a big shot that was. He had 12 points to go with 9 rebounds and 7 assists. He was plus 9. The Warriors' plus-minus leader, though, was Gui Santos, plus 14. He had 15 points. He was the first Warrior in double figures in this game. Gui deserves a round of applause from Dub Nation as well, and I was chatting it up with the folks over on our YouTube live stream, youtube.com/957game during our last break. And everything we do there on YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, Gui Santos. He was awesome in this game. In the fourth quarter, had that crazy acrobatic put back and one tip-in. Never seen anything like that. That kind of tip-in. Gui, much like Moses Moody, Gui Santos, his effort, his energy, his enthusiasm is always going to be there. You know what you can get from Gui Santos. Maybe not necessarily like scoring, and tonight he scored for you. Again, 15 points off the bench. He was the Warriors' third highest scorer behind Steph's 32 and Butler's 26. But even if the shot isn't there, you know that you're going to get from Gui Santos grittiness. You know you're going to get some tough rebounds. He's probably going to poke a few balls loose, getting passing lanes, maybe record a steal or two. But what else that Gui Santos is going to do is he's just, by his effort alone and by his intensity and by his relentlessness on the floor, he's going to gain you like a net of like 3 or 4 possessions over the course of a game. That's just the kind of player that he is. He will steal possessions. One, it's defensively. Again, he'll create a steal, he'll create a mismatch, he'll create an advantage, but it's also on the offensive glass, whether it's him actually grabbing the offensive rebound, and tonight he had 2 offensive rebounds. That's 2 possessions right there. But there's a number of others where just his effort to tap a ball away or to dive on the floor and save it from going out of bounds or to knock it away from an opponent who's trying to gather a rebound, those are all hustle plays, and those are all tracked by the coaching staff. I can guarantee you that. While there's no way to see that on a box score that you or I are looking at, they see that. And they probably have a running tally for the possessions that Gui Santos saves. Gui Santos is always going to give you that. He gave you that today, but he also gave the 15 points off the bench, and he was a game best plus 14 in his minutes, which was only 24 minutes and 51 seconds. So in those about 25 minutes that he played, the Warriors outscored the Pistons by 14 points in a game in which they win by 5, which means when he was off the floor in the other half of the game, right, 24, 25 minutes on, essentially another 24 off, the Warriors were outscored by 9 when Gui Santos was not on the floor. That is Gui Santos' value. He was great in this one as well. The Warriors lose this one without him. There's no doubt about it. All right, it's Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Splash at Thrive City. If you haven't yet been, it's Thrive City's newest sports bar and restaurant. It's on the west side of Chase Center, right outside the doors. It is the spot to be before, during, after Warrior games, home or away. And if you're just a sports fan in general, this is an awesome spot. 3 gigantic screens in front of me right now. They've got countless normal-sized TVs throughout the area as well. Great drinks, great food, great environment, great music, a whole lot going on here at Splash at Thrive City. I also wanted to remind you that the Golden State Warriors, they're hosting a Steam Fest tomorrow, Sunday, March 9th, tomorrow at 11 in the morning during the Santa Cruz Warriors game at Chase Center. The family-friendly fest aims to help youth learn about STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math-related fields, build technological skills, and interact with various local organizations involved with STEAM and sports. All fans in attendance for the Santa Cruz Warriors matchup against the Mexico City Capitanes are welcome to attend the fest. Again, the Warriors are hosting a STEAM Fest tomorrow, 11 in the morning, during the Santa Cruz Warriors game at Shea Center. Again, that is tomorrow, Sunday, March 9th at 11, and all fans in attendance for the Warriors Santa Cruz matchup against Mexico City are welcome to attend the Steam Fest. Welcome back. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Splash at Thrive City. Let's see here. The 818 chiming in on our text line. And I think this is a really, really good point from the 818. Talking about the increased free throws. The Warriors have gone from like league worst as a free throw shooting team to league best since the Jimmy Butler acquisition. The 818 chimes in and says, the increased free throws and a slower pace at times has given Steph many breaks, which has really helped him. Shout out to Joe in the 818. Joe, you're 100% right. I was focusing on the free throws as a way in which they won this basketball game tonight simply from the number of points they got from the free throw line. 33 made free throws tonight. Out of the 115 points they scored, that's about 30% of their points came from the free throw line tonight. That's huge. Just the pure volume of points they're getting from the free throw line. But what it also does, as Joe in the 818 is pointing out, is it gives your veteran team a chance to rest. And there's no one more important giving him a chance to rest and catch his breath than Steph Curry. Every free throw does that. What else the free throws do is it allows you to set your defense, right? What happened to the Warriors early in the season when they weren't getting to the free throw line and their shots weren't falling was every offensive possession. Like, they would get in these modes where they just could not buy a shot. They could not buy a shot. What's up, man? Thanks for stopping by. If you're here at Splash, by the way, stop by, say what's up, even if I'm on the air. Come in and interrupt me. Love to hear from all you guys out there. The Warriors would get in these modes where they couldn't buy a shot for like 10 straight possessions, and it would just be really rough basketball. But every missed three, every missed jumper, without a whistle, without free throws, without a stoppage, it would just feed the opponent's break, right? And it would turn a 10-point lead or a 10-point lead into a tie game or a tie game into a 10-point deficit in the blink of an eye, because you're just hoisting three after three after three, and it's brick after brick after brick. And oftentimes, missed threes turn into fast break opportunities the other way. You have no ability, aside from calling a timeout, and you have a limited number of timeouts, you have no other way to slow the basketball game down and to set your defense and to allow your team to catch its breath. And this is how you win different kind of basketball games. This is how you win in the postseason. Like tonight, it felt like a playoff game, honestly. And you kind of get that with Detroit style. That's why I really like Detroit, because the way in which they play, it kind of perfectly translate to postseason basketball. I know the NBA today is more run and gun and high scoring, and if you can score 125, like, you're going to win basketball games. Detroit kind of plays a throwback style. They are physical. They got a true big man in Jalen Duren. And by the way, I saw a text earlier. I'm trying to find it. Here it is. The 925 chimed in and says, why couldn't James Wiseman be Jalen Duren? If the Warriors had a Jalen Duren on this roster, look out. It would give them an entirely different way to play basketball. But no doubt, I mean, Jalen Duren, he is special, and he is a lot of fun. He had a double-double in the first half of this game. He's just bigger and more athletic and more powerful than anybody else on the roster, and that's the case for almost everybody that they play, especially this Warrior team, who is pretty small. Even when they go to Quentin Post, that's not a normal 7-footer in Quentin Post. Jalen Duren is a load to handle down low, and the Warriors experienced that in the first half. But they kind of took him off the floor in the second half once they got their offense going a little bit. But those free throws are so, so important. And it's the Jimmy Butler impact. It really is. The 408 chiming in on our text line at 888-957-9570. Part of the reason why I said that this was kind of a playoff-like atmosphere, first of all, the Chase Center crowd was awesome, but that Detroit defense and the Warriors were responding in kind defensively, and they're an elite defense themselves. The Warriors are. I think it's what Steve Kerr said after one of the games in the road trip. I believe it was the game in New York versus the Knicks. they're developing a true identity as a two-way team, right? A two-way identity. Very good offense and elite defense. The defense, I think, is the calling card of this team now. The offense, when they're playing their style, are very good. They have an ability to, even when they're not great offensively, stay afloat through the free throw line now. But they are better defensively than they are offensively. But they are developing this two-way style. So that defensive battle in this game was part of the reason why it felt like a postseason game. I think also the natural way in which these two teams are sitting right now in the standings, both are six seeds in their respective conferences. You're trying to avoid the play-in at all costs, and one game might be the difference in being in a postseason series and getting a week off before that series, or having to win a game or two in a play-in tournament situation. So every game is huge for both of these teams. But what the 408 is asking me on our text line, again, 888-957-9570, please explain to me how Curry got a tech after Isaiah Stewart pushed him. And this is part of why it felt like a playoff game, because there were so many, not like scuffles and there were no fights, but there was like a couple of moments where tensions kind of raised a little bit and tempers flared a little bit, and you got a couple of guys going like nose to nose and barking at each other. I mean, this was a true like old-fashioned kind of NBA game, and there was one moment in the second half where Steph is kind of hanging out, and it must have been right after a foul, or maybe it was off an inbound, or maybe out of a timeout. I forget exactly what the situation was, but it was a dead ball, and Steph's kind of walking along the left wing in front of the Pistons bench, and Isaiah Stewart, who is kind of known to just be like an S starter in the league, like he's a trash talker. He gets in everybody's face. He's not afraid of anybody. There was the game a few years ago where he was chasing LeBron James around the court, like with the intention of doing physical bodily harm to him, if you remember. He's a certified crazy person. He stood up off the bench as Steph is walking along the right wing, and I don't know exactly what he said to Steph, but he said something to him, and it got Steph to like turn and look at him, and as Steph turns and looks at him, Isaiah sort of gives him a little bit of a push. Not like a full shove, nothing crazy, but I mean, you're on the bench, you're not in the game, you put hands on Steph, who's on the floor, like, we're gonna have a problem here. Steph then, you know, kind of responded in kind, didn't touch him, didn't shove him, but kind of got up in his face and said some select words back. I'm sure nothing that I can repeat here on the radio. We know Steph, I think, underrated as a trash talker. I'm sure he was getting some of that off right there. And ultimately, they called a double tech. The way that they announced it to the Chase Center crowd was really funny, because they first announced that Isaiah Stewart got a technical, and Chase Center roared. Chase Center, of course, loved that. And then they paused, and while the cheering was going on, they announced that Steph also got a tech. And I think half the arena didn't realize that Steph also got a tech, because they were too busy celebrating that they heard that Isaiah Stewart got a tech in the first place. But that was a funny moment. It just adds to the playoff atmosphere that this game felt like. And it's what the Warriors have said in the past. Every game is a playoff game for them, and that intensity is really coming through right now. Let's go out to the phone lines here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you, live at Splash at Thrive City, the new sports restaurant and sports bar right outside of Chase Center on the west side of the arena. It's Mark Randy with you here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Let's go out to Al, who's in Alameda. Al, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up. How you doing? Al, you there? Al, sorry about that, Al. We'll try to call us back. We'll try to get back to you in a little bit, Al. Warriors got a nice win in this one. There's absolutely no doubt. The 415, though, checking in. We might have Al now. Al, can you hear me? You there?
Yes, I could hear you. Hey,
there you go, Al. What's up?
408. Yes. He was right about that call about Curry, okay? Listen, oh, man, that kind of pissed me off there. The guy was on the bench, okay? He's not playing, okay? You don't touch somebody if the person is playing. So Curry shouldn't get a technical for that. And whatever his name is, we should have got a free throw for that. Okay, I never seen that before, and that's kind of boo boo call right there. But in a way, we won. Appreciate that. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it, Al. I mean, I think I'm with you, and I'm seeing some messages in our YouTube chat in agreement as well. Steph should not have gotten a tech there, and I would agree. The NBA, I think, is just trying to avoid any altercations at all costs. So whenever there is anything even coming anywhere near resembling an altercation, not that this was physical at all, there was a very, very, very little push from Isaiah Stewart to Steph. They're going to get both parties if both parties were at all involved. And Steph was involved only in the sense that he kind of turned around, got in Isaiah Stewart's face, but he did nothing physically to Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart was the guilty party, and he also initiated it. But, I mean, it is kind of the unofficial rule in the NBA. You can initiate it, but if you respond, you're going to get punished for the response. In this case, they both got punished. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it also speaks, again, I'm talking about this game feeling like a playoff matchup. I think the way that Steph has reacted to a lot of individual moments of late also speaks to how Steph is feeling right now. And we talk so much about Steph and the way that he's scoring and the way that he's playing and his statistics, and it's eerily reminiscent of MVP level Steph. Like, he's playing at an MVP level since Jimmy Butler was acquired. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But I think we also can see Steph in how he responds when there is a little bit of trash talk thrown his way, or when there's some sort of some hill that he has to climb over, and how he responds. The same thing happened in the first quarter in Brooklyn. Remember, he was being guarded by Keon Johnson, and it was the 27-5 beginning for the Nets. This was not right in that moment, but it was a 22-point first quarter lead for the Nets. Steph's frustrated. He's playing well, but no one else on his team is really doing anything to help. And he's frankly probably a little bit pissed off. They're trying to close the road trip 4-1. And he's upset. And Keon Johnson is being a pest. He's picking him up full court. Off a made basket for the Nets, Keon Johnson picking him up full court, not giving him an ounce of space, not giving him any space to breathe. And Steph catches the inbound with Keon Johnson, like, hounding him. And Steph kind of just turns, lowers the shoulder, and knocks him over. Called for a deserved offensive foul. And after that, Steph doesn't just, like, walk away. I mean, the physical lower the shoulder and the foul is one thing. He then kind of cocks back the ball, almost like he was going to throw it at Keon Johnson. And he stops himself. But he still, like, goes over and steps towards Keon Johnson. And almost, like, I mean, says a couple things to him. Like, Steph is fired up. Steph is fired up right now. And I've said it time and time and time again. I don't think I can emphasize this enough. Steph is convinced that he's getting meaningful basketball. And, I mean, the way that they are right now, winners of 4 in a row, winners of 9 in a row when Jimmy Butler plays, 11-1 overall when Jimmy Butler plays, 11-2 since Jimmy Butler debuted. I mean, they play like this, they're getting meaningful basketball in March, and hell, probably in April, but also in May as well. It's Steph with the promise of meaningful basketball, with the hint of, oh, I got a shot at number 5 here. Okay, I'm turning it on. And we've seen Steph turn it on here over the last month since Jimmy Butler was acquired, and it is awesome to see. Yeah, the YouTube chat, Trotter64, saying Steph is on a mission. It really does feel that way. I think the same goes for Draymond Green. Draymond shows it in different ways. Draymond is kind of always at that level where he's talking trash and feels like anyone saying anything to him is a personal affront. Steph is a little more reserved in those areas, but not of late. Draymond is always that way, but you can also, I think, see Draymond's intensity ratchet up a little bit of late, whether it's him scoring the ball more, whether it's what he's doing defensively and playing the 5, that takes a physical toll on Draymond. We're seeing that intensity level ratchet up for basically everyone on the Warriors roster right now. All right, time for a break here on Warriors Wrap Up. It's Mark Randy live from Splash at Thrive City. We got one more segment with you. We got to hear from Steve Kerr, plus plenty more time for your calls and your texts and your messages on YouTube, youtube.com/957 the game. And again, calls and text 888 958 957-9570. Plus, we will check in on what's gone on around the Western Conference. A relatively light day in terms of teams that are close to the Warriors in the standings, but we will check in on all of the meaningful games when we return as well. It's Mark Randy with you, live from Splash at Thrive City on Warriors Wrap-Up right here on 95.7 The Game. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Pass by Draymond to Curry inside, scoring and got fouled.
What do we always say? Ball you man. Know where the man is, know where the ball was. Like, Malik Beasley was blanketed on Steph. He had no idea the ball was coming. It went right over his head.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you on Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game, live from Splash at Thrive City. If you are in the building, stop by, say what's up. I've already had a couple of listeners stop by. Love seeing and hearing from you wherever you are here. And love all the loyal listeners of 95.7 The Game. But Splash at Thrive City, it's an amazing venue. If you haven't been out here yet, you got to stop by at some point. The place to be before, during, after Warrior games. Three gigantic screens in front of me right now showing various sports, although sports for the night mostly over. Also got a number of other normal-sized TVs throughout the area. They've got foosball. They've got golf simulators in the back. They got good food and good drinks. This is the spot to be if you are a sports fan in San Francisco, and it's right outside of Chase Center here at Thrive City. Splash at Thrive City. As we continue here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game, again, Mark Randy with you. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr coming up in just a little bit. I did, though, want to get this, though, to all of you before I forget. Because we had a couple of milestones in this game tonight. First of all, for Steph Curry, he has entered the night 15 points shy of 25,000 points in his NBA career. And checks notes, he scored more than that. 32 points for Steph tonight. So with that, he has now eclipsed the 25,000 point plateau. He becomes just the 26th player all time to reach that milestone. Plus, he becomes the fifth fastest guard. Steph did it in 1,011 games. Fifth fastest guard to reach 25,000 points. The only guards to do it in fewer games than Steph: Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, and Kobe Bryant. That is a pretty good list for Steph Curry to be on. I can also take it a step further for you. Of players to reach 25,000 points, when they reach 25,000 points, Steph, the fewest number of free throw attempts. Upon reaching 25,000 points, Steph, the fewest number of free throw attempts by any player when they reach that 25K point plateau. So Steph Curry doing something that nobody else has ever done, reaching 25,000 points with the number of free throw attempts that he has to his name. He got to the free throw line a lot tonight, though. 12 for 12 from the stripe. That's part of the reason why he scored 32, and it felt kind of quiet, because usually Steph Curry doesn't get to the free throw line that often. In fact, give me a second as I go back through my Twitter feed and find this stat for you, because it is absolutely ridiculous. I retweeted it the other day once Steph got that 40-point performance in Brooklyn. Steph Curry's points per game by free throw attempts. So in his career, when he has more than five free throw attempts, Steph is averaging 31 points per game, right? And five free throw attempts, that's an all right number. Nothing absurd. Kind of probably where near his average. 31 points per game when he gets five or more free throw attempts per game. When he attempts 10 or more free throw attempts per game, he's averaging 37.5 points per game. And when he averages 15 or more, when he gets 15 or more free throw attempts per game, he averages 53.3 points per game. Steph is one of the best scorers that this game has ever seen, and he consistently does it without the benefit of the free and easy points from the free throw line. There has never been another scorer like Stephen Curry in NBA history. And if he got the whistle that some of these other elite scorers got, I'm looking at James Harden, for example, Steph might have averaged like 35 or more a season at a certain point in his career. Again, five free throws or more per game, Steph's averaging 31 points per game. 10 or more, 37.4 points per game. 15 or more free throw attempts, which, by the way, has only happened three times in his career, and the Warriors have never lost when that's happened. 53.3 points per game for Steph when he gets to the free throw line at least 15 times. That is absurd. But that's why tonight kind of felt a little bit quiet for Steph's standards. 32 points, because 12 of them came from the free throw line. 32 points for Steph, 8 for 22 from the field, also 3 rebounds and 4 assists in this one. Meanwhile, for Draymond Green, he needed 4 assists to get 4,855 in his career. That would tie him with Guy Rogers for the second most assists in franchise history, and Draymond had 7 assists. So he officially has passed Guy Rogers, second most assists in Warriors franchise history. He's only behind Steph Curry, who has the most assists in franchise history, entering the night at 6,456. Add Steph's 4 assists tonight, so Steph sitting at 6,460 on his career. That is the most in Warriors history. Draymond Green sitting at 4,858, second most in Warriors history. A couple of milestones reached by Warriors players tonight, and Steph has another one coming up soon. He might do this on Monday. Steph Curry entered the night 11 three-pointers away from 4,000 in his career. He made 4 tonight, so he's now 7 three-pointers away from 4,000 in his NBA career. Of course, Steph, we know that he's the all-time leader. No one has ever made 4,000 threes in a career. It's going to happen for Steph, and it might happen on Monday. 7 would do it. He entered the night 11 shy. He made 4 tonight, so 7 more threes for Steph to get to 4,000 in his NBA career. Okay, let's hear from Steve Kerr. Plus, we're going to talk about Jonathan Kuminga and his potential return. I have to share with you what Steve Kerr said pregame. I think it is encouraging. I see a lot of chat both on YouTube and on our text line about Kuminga, and they feel like something fishy is going on. I'll talk you through it. I'll explain to you why I feel a little bit more confident about Kuminga's imminent return and why I feel comfortable calling it imminent at this point because of what Steve Kerr said pregame. That is coming up in a little bit, but first, let's hear from Steve Kerr. No, by the way, we also are going to check on the rest of the Western Conference, and we'll take a look at the Western standings. 408, I see you. I will address your question about the fifth seed and the West standings coming up in a little bit as well. But first, Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, post-game after his team's 115-110 win over the red-hot Pistons tonight at Chase Center. Here is the Warriors head coach, Steve Kerr, on Warriors wrap-up.
Kind of a slow game, kind of a push-and-shove game. Did you like, was the competitive spirit? What did you like most about this win for you guys?
Well, I love the fact that, we came off that long road trip, 6-hour flight yesterday, 5:30 game against probably the most physical team in the league. You know, they lead the league in fouls, and they play to their strength. You know, literally, they are strong at every position, physical, and these are always hard games coming off these types of road trips, long trips, 3-hour time change. So thrilled with just the competitive spirit, the energy, the effort that it took to win a key game. I mean, every game's key, obviously, now, but the first game of a homestand, we knew it would be tricky regardless, just with the travel, but especially against a team like that that's playing so well and is so physical.
Can you describe what you saw on the play when Draymond hit the three? It looked like he was obviously trying to get to Steph. They kind of had Steph smothered.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, Detroit just decided we're going to make somebody else beat us. And Draymond's guy just backed way into the paint and doubled Steph. And Draymond, I mean, it's one of his best qualities is his confidence, his how brash he is. Did not hesitate, just rose up, and that thing was pure. I mean, just never a doubt, and beautiful to see. And then, you know, we make Moses makes the big steal. Draymond knocks down another free throw, and we were able to close the game.
Steve, you guys have won a lot of games lately, but this team is, like you said, it's a big team. They're athletic, and they also play kind of bully ball.
Yeah.
What do you take from your team to be able to pull a game like this out against a team like that? Because you know when the playoffs come around, you're probably going to see some of that kind of activity.
Yeah, I mean, it was physical. It was testy. You know, a lot of pushing and shoving. And so to win a game like that when clearly we were tired and, you know, trying to get our legs underneath us coming off that trip, it's a big-time win. And I think, you know, Jimmy, this is part of the Jimmy dynamic, you know. He's built for these kinds of games. He just gets the ball and he'll get us a shot and he'll get to the line and he'll take big shots. And you know, it's playoff Jimmy's a real thing. And in some ways that felt like a playoff game, like you said, the physicality and it was kind of a rock fight, frankly, you know. And guys like Jimmy really thrive in these type games.
That's Steve Kerr post-game earlier tonight here after the Warriors knocked off the Pistons 115-110. I think he said a couple of interesting things there. First of all, talking about Jimmy Butler, he said, quote, Jimmy is built for these kinds of games. He says playoff Jimmy is a real thing. I think something that's really, really encouraging for the Warriors is Jimmy Butler's offense is beginning to come around a little bit. 26 points tonight. That's a high for him in a Warriors jersey. Scored 25 in his debut in Chicago. Scored 25 on Thursday in Brooklyn. 26 tonight. I think what we're seeing from Jimmy is one, the confidence is beginning to come back. He made two threes today. Only had two made threes in his previous Warriors career. He made two of them today. They tend to be big threes. He's not afraid to take them in the big moment, kind of similar to Draymond. But Jimmy Butler had opportunities earlier in his Warriors tenure to take open threes when they were there in big moments, and he didn't take them. I think he's beginning to feel the offensive rhythm. And I think the other thing that is one of Jimmy's greatest qualities, and it's why playoff Jimmy is a real thing, and it's why he tends to, I don't know, jump off the screen, and if you're in person, jump off the court a little bit more when he's in the playoffs, is because he has this innate sense, and really all of the elite players do, but the kind of player that Jimmy is, he's generally speaking more of a pass first. How many times have you heard him say, I'm just going to make the right decision every time, whether that is me taking a shot or me setting somebody else up? He's not necessarily passive. He just isn't going to shot hunt to the point where you feel like he's being overly aggressive, trying to get his own. But what Jimmy does that a lot of the best players in this league do, they can sense when their offense is really needed. And that's when he can turn it on. Kind of like the flip of a switch. He can turn it on in those moments. It happened in the second half in New York versus the Knicks. He had a really bad first half. The Warriors couldn't get anything to go offensively. And you go into that halftime, this is the way that I felt. Like, they're going to need a Jimmy game here. Like, they need Jimmy to take over. And Jimmy, I think, had like 16 points in the second half in that game. He was great in the second half. That carried over into Thursday in Brooklyn, where he scored 25 points. And aside from Steph's 40, he was far and away the Warriors' second-best offensive option. He was great. They got down by 22 early, and he sensed, all right, this is a moment where I'm going to need to do a little bit more of the heavy lifting in terms of scoring the basketball. He's always going to have a positive influence. But he needed to do a little bit more scoring. He sensed that, and he's able, he's good enough to come through in those moments. Same exact thing tonight. I mean, the Warriors' offense in that first half, oh man. I mean, credit Detroit. Like, they did a hell of a job defensively. But the Warriors in the first half shot just 36% from the field, and they were 4 for 20 from downtown, and they committed 11 turnovers in the first half. It was ugly. Like, Detroit gets credit for that, but the Warriors' offense was ugly. And Jimmy Butler said, all right, you know what? Okay. I'm gonna put the team on my back coming out of the halftime break. And what did he do in the third quarter? 15 of his 26 points in the third. 5 of 7 from the field. 2 of 2 from downtown in the third quarter. Remember, in his previous games as a Warrior, and today was his 12th game as a Warrior. So in his first 11 games and two quarters, so 11 and a half games, he had made two threes as a Warrior. I think the number might actually be three, but not many. And then he made two in the single third quarter tonight. Like, he has the ability to sense when his scoring is needed, and that's when he's at his best. That's why his scoring average ticks up big time in the playoffs, because in the playoffs, every moment matters. And generally, Jimmy has been on teams where he hasn't had a ton of help elsewhere. And he says, you know what? In order for my team to win this basketball game, I need to score 30 tonight. And that's where Jimmy goes and gets the 30s. He had 26 tonight, 15 in the third quarter, 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of 2 from downtown, or 2 of 2 from downtown, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He was awesome in this game. And the sense that I get from Jimmy Butler is when the Warriors need him to score, he will score. And in general, he feels a little bit more confident in his shot of late as well. The other thing that Steve Kerr mentioned was one of the best parts of Draymond's game is his confidence. He said, quote, how brash he is. That's one way to put it. It's sometimes what gets Draymond in trouble, but it is also what makes him great. And the confidence to hit, first of all, to take that three, final minute, down a point, you're left open on the right wing. When Steph is on the floor to take that shot, oh man, it takes confidence. It takes confidence. And it's another thing to hit it. And Draymond Green, not a great three-point shooter, but he hit the big one tonight. Without that, the Warriors, they lose this basketball game. I want to get to, and I'm going to close things out with a look around the Western Conference. I do want to get to what Steve Kerr said pregame about Jonathan Kuminga, because I have been seeing some hand-wringing on our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union about Jonathan Kuminga. Let me read what Steve Kerr said pregame today about Jonathan Kuminga. He said, quote, again, this is about like an hour and a half, an hour 45 before tip-off. Steve Kerr says, quote, he scrimmaged just now. He looked good. Conditioning is getting there. He's feeling positive, and that's a good sign. He's had a couple good days in a row, so we'll keep going. Should be soon that he returns, and we're excited to get him back. I know at this point we're not really going to believe it until we see it. Tonight was Kuminga's 30th consecutive missed game, and this has turned out to be a pretty gnarly ankle sprain for him. He suffered it on January 4th in a win here at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Hasn't played since. 30 consecutive games missed. This feels like the most positive update we've gotten from Steve Kerr and the Warriors since then. I know that they've said that they were thinking he was going to return at some point on the road trip. That was just their expectation, and then every time they talked about it after that, during the road trip, it was, well, you know, he's just not quite ready yet, not quite ready yet, not quite ready yet. He was swollen and sore after he scrimmaged. But after he scrimmaged today, again, Steve Kerr saying, quote, he looked good. Conditioning is getting there. He's feeling positive, and that's a good sign. He's had a couple of good days in a row, so we'll keep going. Should be soon, and we're excited to get him back. Now, the Warriors coming up, they play on Monday. They're off tomorrow, and they play on Monday as they bring up the Warriors' schedule. Monday is, again, as this seven-game homestand continues, Monday is against the Trailblazers, who are playing quietly pretty good basketball of late. If I'm the Suns, and if I'm the Mavericks, I'm scared. Pardon me. Yeah, the Suns and Mavericks, I'm scared of the Blazers potentially catching me for the 10 seed in the Western Conference. But Portland on Monday, then 2 days off, Sacramento on Thursday. Not ruling out Monday for Kuminga, but I would tend to circle Thursday versus Sacramento as a return date for Jonathan Kuminga. I know we've had this conversation like 8 different times, but Thursday versus Sacramento feels like the day that maybe we get Jonathan Kuminga back. It does seem to be a more positive update from Steve Kerr today than we have had really at any other point during this entire process. So that's all I'll say about Jonathan Kuminga. I think his return is officially imminent. Now, we have felt that way for a while, but I think it really is this time. But again, 30 games missed. We'll believe it when we see it. Not a lot of terribly important games for the Warriors across the Western Conference today. The biggest one, the Houston Rockets in action, they were hosting the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Rockets exploded for 146 points. They knock off the Pelicans by 29 points, 146 to 117. So with that win, the Rockets stay three games ahead of the Warriors. Rockets win, Warriors win. The Rockets now 39-25. The Warriors 36-28. Three games ahead of the Warriors. The Warriors gain a half game on the idle Grizzlies, who did not play. Grizzlies 3.5 ahead of the Warriors. The Grizzlies are 39-24. Grizzlies did win their last game, but they have been struggling of late. They're without Jaren Jackson Jr. for at least the next week or so. We shall see when the Grizzlies update his status. He's officially week to week with his ankle sprain. But the Grizzlies idle. Warriors 3.5 behind them. The Warriors 3 behind the Rockets. T-Wolves, Clippers, Mavericks, Kings, Suns, all idle tonight. So the Warriors gain a half game on all those teams. Now a half game ahead of Minnesota, game and a half ahead of the Clippers, two games ahead of the Kings, who are coming to town on Thursday, and four games ahead of the Mavericks, who are very narrowly holding on to the 10th and that final spot in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. But the Warriors gain half games on all those teams behind them who were idle. They stay apace with the Houston Rockets. They gain a half game on Memphis. They also gain a game on the Lakers, who lost their eight-game winning streak snapped in Boston today. Tatum and Brown combined, they each scored 30 or more. Lakers lose that game. Plus, maybe the most meaningful thing to come out of that game is LeBron James has a groin injury. He left the game midway through the fourth quarter with a strained left groin and did not return. And the latest reporting from Dave McMiniman of ESPN, he writes, quote, LeBron James said his mind immediately went to his groin injury Christmas Day 2018 when he felt a pop in his groin and missed significant time. James says he does not believe this injury is as bad as that one, and then he knocked on the wooden locker behind him to not jinx it. But at least an absence for a handful of games, it seems, for LeBron James in this one. We'll see how that shifts the Western Conference standings. I still think it's a long shot for the Warriors to climb up to three, but if LeBron misses a lot of time, you never know. But you need a lot to go your way. You need the Lakers, the Grizzlies, and the Rockets to really struggle, and you'd have to keep winning games at this current pace. Not saying it's impossible, but a lot would have to go right. I think the Warriors, their new target should be the 5 seed. And hell, I mean, you could get up to the 4 and 5 separated by just a half game right now. I would say 3 is very, very, very far-fetched. You're probably more than likely going to have the chance to catch Memphis as opposed to Houston. I know you're closer to Houston right now, but Houston is healthier down the stretch. I might believe in them a little bit more than I do in Memphis at this stage, considering Memphis's injuries. I think the 5 seed should be the Warriors' goal, especially because this injury to LeBron might make the Lakers more likely to be the 3 seed. And if the Lakers are the 3, postseason comes around, and LeBron's available, along with Luka and everybody else in the Lakers, I think I would want to avoid that matchup. And if the Lakers are the 3, they would take on the 6 in the first round. The Warriors are currently the 6. Going up to that 5 might be the best route for the Warriors, and you would take on then either Memphis or Houston, whichever team you did not catch. They would be the matchup in that first round, and I think the Warriors would feel pretty good about their chances versus either Memphis or Houston in the first round as the 4 or the 5. The only drawback there is it means you have to take on OKC. If you win that first round matchup, you would likely have OKC, assuming they survive a 1-versus-8 matchup, which I would feel very confident that they would. You have to take them on in the second round. But considering the other options might be Denver and the Lakers, OKC versus those other two options might not be like the worst trade-off, and you would get to avoid the Lakers or the Nuggets in the first round anyway. So I think the 5 should be the Warriors' goal, and it is definitely possible. You're only 3 behind the Rockets and 3.5 behind the Grizzlies. I would circle the Grizzlies, though, as the team that maybe you could catch given their injuries right now. Jaren Jackson Jr. out for at least a week, but it might be closer to a month or so with his ankle sprain. All right, Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. A couple minutes left. Let's get to Crashing the Boards, which is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thanks, as always, to Chilton for sponsoring this segment. Crashing the boards tonight, I got a couple to choose from because both Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, 9 rebounds in this one. Let's see, who played fewer minutes? Draymond did. Draymond played 31.5. Jimmy played 36.5. I'll go with Draymond Green crashing the boards in this one. 9 boards for Draymond to pair with his 12 points. Draymond also 7 assists. He hasn't had a triple-double in this stretch of play, but he's getting like pretty close pretty often. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, had 3 steals, also blocked a shot, hit the big 3 in the final minute of the fourth quarter to give the Warriors a lead in which they never relinquished, and ultimately they win this one 115-110, and Draymond's 3 was a gigantic part of it. He gets the honor of crashing the boards, which as always is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair, and again, our thanks to Chilton. All right, coming up next for the Warriors, they're off tomorrow. They get a Sunday off before they welcome in the Portland Trail Blazers on Monday. Again, Portland, they're playing a lot better of late. Portland is only 4 games behind the Mavericks for the 10th spot, which is the 4th and final play-in spot in the West. They're a half game behind KD and the Suns, believe it or not, and they are 4 games behind the Mavericks. Not like they're a great basketball team, but much like the Pistons, the Pistons are on a different level, but much like the Pistons, this is not last year's Portland team. This is not a couple of years ago Portland's team. This is a young, improving Trailblazers team. If you don't know who Shaedon Sharpe is, oh, he might have a dunk for you on Monday that's going to get you out of your seat if you're here at Chase or if you are watching on your couch at home. They're an exciting young basketball team. They're playing a lot better in the second half of the season. This is not going to be a walk in the park for the Warriors. That's coming up on Monday, 7 o'clock with the tip time, which means pregame coverage here on 95.7. The game begins at 6. After that, Warriors off for 2 days, then Sacramento on Thursday, the Knicks in town on Saturday, a week from today, Denver on Monday, then Milwaukee and Toronto. This is a challenging homestand. Detroit, a good team. Portland playing a lot better of late. Sacramento, a quality team. Knicks are good, but they'll be without Jalen Brunson, unfortunately, for the Knicks. Plus, Denver, Jokic is in town. Then on a back-to-back, Giannis and the Bucks are in town, followed by Toronto to close the homestand. There are some big challenges here. We'll see just how many wins the Warriors can get on this homestand. I said it before, and I'll stick by it. 5-2 will be great. 5-2 would be great. Anything better would be gravy. 5-2 should be the goal on this homestand. The way the Warriors are playing, though, they might be aiming for 7-0 or 6-1. But 5-2 versus these quality teams, I think the Warriors would certainly take it. All right, that'll do it for Warriors wrap-up tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Mark Granny, signing off. This has been a lot of fun. Live from Splash at Thrive City. If you haven't been yet, you got to stop by at some point and take in a Warrior game. Or if you're headed to the game, grab a bite to eat and a drink pregame. And then you can also stop by postgame if you want for a nightcap before you head back out wherever you call home here in the Bay Area. All right, thanks as always to Cam Williams behind the glass. Thanks as well to all of you for tuning in. Also thanks to the couple of guys who stopped by and said what's up here to me live here at Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center here in downtown San Francisco. This is the spot to be, and it's great to be here for Warriors pre- and post-games as well. So thanks to everybody here at Splash for putting me up here in this little booth we got here in Splash. All right, my name is Mark Rainey, signing off. We'll talk next time. Warriors winners tonight, 115-110. They're 8 games over 500 at 36-28. They've won 4 in a row, 9 straight when Butler plays, 11-1 overall when Butler plays, 11-2 in their last 13 overall, and they are alone in 6th place in the Western Conference standings. We'll talk next time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good weekend. My name is Mark Granny, signing off here on 95.7 The Game.